Hello and welcome to the sixth episode of the Pop Papa Napcast. I am TJ Deitch. I'm your host as well as the proprietor of poppapa.com. That's P-O-P-P-A.com. I'm coming to you today in this first segment on Wednesday, and I've got to apologize right off the bat for a couple things. First of all, you might be able to tell my voice is a little raw, I guess. I caught my wife's cold. She was home last week with it. I got it, started coming in on Monday, so I don't sound super great. Although maybe I have that kind of like sultry bluesy thing going on now. I know that's not true. That's not the case. And also my neighbor is doing some work on their house, so you might hear the occasional saw. I promise it's not a trap of any kind. So before getting into the more regular segments of the show, I wanted to talk a little bit about being sick as a stay-at-home parent, because it's really different than when you're sick and you've got a regular job or somebody else is around to watch your kids. I've kind of talked around this a little bit, and I might have mentioned it before. It's hard to remember. I can't believe it's six episodes, and I'm having trouble remembering what I talked about. But here in New York, we don't have any family around, and we haven't really looked and found a babysitter yet. And all of our friends mostly work with my wife, so it's not like there's a lot of people around that can just swing in and, you know, watch the kid for a day. And that's partly on us because we haven't really looked for one. But it makes things like being sick yesterday pretty rough. When my wife was home, I tried keeping the baby away from her and she just kind of laid in bed the first day. And then the second day they kind of hung out a little bit again in bed because she was really knocked out by this. And I was too. I would have loved to stay in bed yesterday. But the combination of being a freelance writer with like a daily thing that I have to do and just being the only one at home with the kid, it really kind of messes you up, man. On Monday, I started feeling kind of sniffly and stuff. And it's that moment where you kind of know that you're going to be sick, but you haven't really gotten sick yet. You don't really feel super bad yet. But we went to the grocery store, and literally like halfway through, like in the frozen food section, I could just feel that fog rolling in and my brain just getting like super slow. I couldn't really think about much. And luckily, Lucy was pretty fine on this trip. So we were doing okay, but I could feel it, and I was like, oh, this is going to hit. My wife and I were kind of talking, like, do I have what you had? It kind of hit a little bit later, so maybe I don't. Maybe I caught something while we were running errands on Saturday and Sunday, or maybe I got something from the comic book show that I went to on Sunday. But it doesn't really matter where you get sick from. I know we like to kind of blame each other sometimes, but it doesn't matter. I joked with my dad that he sent me this virus somehow because I was winning at the Scrabble game that we play on our iPhones, and he's been kicking my butt on a pretty regular basis, but I had him, and I think I lost that game anyway, so what are you going to do? So yeah, Monday I really started feeling it a little bit, and I was like, all right, this is going to be a problem, but you never know. I mean, you go to sleep and you wake up and you see how it goes. I don't know about you, maybe this is a universal thing, I'm not sure, but for me, I always get worse at night when these things are coming on. And so it was bad. I had the tissue box and a bag for tissues and all that. And then Tuesday was rough. I got up and I did my morning posts and I wrote a few emails for work. But when Lucy went down for her nap, I went down for my nap too. And I got like an hour of sleep in. And then she woke up and I was able to bring her into the bed and she napped for a little bit longer in there, which was a nice bonus and a nice surprise. But yeah, I mean, yesterday I was pretty much wrecked. Just that, you know, splitting headache, feels like something's in there trying to, like, spread your skull apart. Every time you move, it's like lightning bolts. And the constantly running nose, coughing, you can hear my throat's a little scratchy, just the whole nine. You feel bad because I'm watching her, and she's fine, she's not really doing anything bad, but anytime she asks for something, she goes from 0 to 60 like that, and she's like, fish, 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 and she just starts saying it louder and louder, and it's like, okay, okay. I can only move so fast. I'm moving even slower now than normal because I'm sick, and I really don't need you to scream it 17 times. I understand. But, I mean, she's a baby. She doesn't understand, and she doesn't understand really what, like, sick means. We got a little bit worried last night because she started coughing a little bit and sneezed a few times when my wife was putting her down for bed. And so we were worried that she might be getting it too, but today she seems fine. And so I wound up going to bed at 10:30. I usually stay up a little bit later. Even Monday night, I stayed up and watched a little bit of Conan. But it was just one of those things where nothing was really on. I didn't care. I saw New Girl and Mindy Project, which are two of my favorite shows. And I really liked both of those episodes. And by 10:30, you know, my wife was like, yeah, maybe we should go to bed. And I was like, all right. And I slept. And actually, I slept really well. Lucy slept really well, too. She didn't get up until, like, gosh, like 6:30 or something. And so I went and got her, and I brought her into bed. My wife had already gotten up for work at that point, but she was in the bathroom, so Lucy didn't see her. And I think she kind of hid in there for a few minutes before coming out. And by then, Lucy had fallen asleep. I remember kissing us both on the cheek before she left, but that's about it. Lucy then woke up at about 7:45, and I turned the TV in the bedroom on to Elmo, and I just kind of laid there. But I knew right away when I woke up that I actually felt a lot better. All that achiness was gone, that joint pain and everything. My headache wasn't so bad. Like, my nose was as runny as it was, not as congested. So I just felt a lot better. You know, obviously still I've got some drainage issues, and it's that part of the cold where you're usually coughing a lot. Actually hasn't been happening too much, so maybe I'll just skip over that part. That's one of the worst parts for me, because your throat gets so raw, and it's like you just can't do anything else. So like I said, I'm feeling better. And even with just being sick like one day, I keep looking around and being like, oh, I want to clean up. I want to take the trash out. I want to take the recycling out. We've got all these boxes from like things that have shipped and just random stuff that you get that's all kind of piling up. And I don't know about you guys, but I get really anxious when like the dishes pile up in the kitchen and when the house gets messy in general. But like the dishes in the kitchen are one thing that I really can't get past. And even yesterday, I threw a bunch of stuff in the dishwasher and just ran it to try and, like, keep ahead of the game. Because I cook most nights. I didn't cook last night, of course, because I was feeling crappy, and I figured it'd be a bad idea to touch food. So I skipped it yesterday, but, you know, we still rack up a lot of dishes. I made, like, macaroni and cheese and Mrs. Grass's soup, two of my, like, favorite comfort food type things. And things that I don't normally make because they're not, you know, very good for you. But they're good, and they remind me of when I was a kid and I was sick. Those two foods and... When I was starting to feel better after being sick, I used to get a Salisbury steak TV dinner. I don't know why that particular thing tasted good to me after being sick. I think I had one more as an adult, and I was like, ooh, this isn't so good. But as a kid, you know, the Salisbury steak, the, like, corn, and, like, that weird apple thing, dessert that was always in there, that was perfect for coming over a sore throat or a cold or the flu or something like that. I haven't done that one in a while, but I still actually keep Mrs. Grass's in the house just for when I'm sick and happen to have a box of Kraft macaroni and cheese. So I know you're not supposed to eat dairy when you're sick, kind of messes with all your mucus, but I just had to eat it and it was good. Lucy had some and she liked it, even though I try not to give her too much of that stuff because it's, you know, a lot of preservatives and chemicals and stuff. And we try to stay more natural, but, you know, every now and then it's fine. Okay, I was talking about the dishes. Sorry, I got a little off track there. Because I'm cooking most nights, and if I get off track without running the dishwasher or washing the pans, they really pile up, and we don't have a very big kitchen. We've got, you know, it's just a galley kitchen. A little bit of space on one side of the sink, and on the other side's a drying rack and all this stuff. So it gets tight, and it gets really obvious. It looks like the real world house after, like, 2 weeks of not doing dishes, after just, like, 2 days of not doing dishes here. And I don't like having a lot of stuff sit in the sink, and, you know, it just gets gross. So I did some dishes last night. I'm going to do some more today. I want to take the trash out. We'll see how this goes with recording and then getting out there. Getting out to the dumpster. Since we live in a condo, there's a dumpster nearby, which is great for, like, bigger things and not having to remember, like, which day to take the trash out on. But at the same time, I also probably don't take the trash out as soon as I should if we did just have trash cans. Does that make sense? Like, I'm like, oh, I got to walk all the way over there. It's getting nicer out now. But if it's crummy out or I'm not feeling good, you know, that extra 20, 30 yards and back to the dumpster just feels like something that's not really worth doing. I'll throw an extra baggie on a door handle and just use that for trash, which, again, is gross, and I try not to do too often, but starting to build up, so I gotta make a run. I can't believe I've talked about dishes and trash for, like, 6 minutes here, but I think it's probably something that my fellow stay-at-homers and any parent can, you know, relate to, because when things start piling up, it makes me feel claustrophobic, like as if those things are literally piling up around me and they're going to topple over. We don't have a lot of space to work with here, so I try to keep it as clear as possible. But even something as little as like running to the dumpster can be tricky with a toddler around, because I don't want to dress her up just to go out there. And if I do take her out, she's going to want to play. And if she wants to play, am I ready to do that with my work? So it can be a little tricky. I know I make too big a deal out of most of these things. And hopefully when the weather gets nicer, it won't be as big of a deal. I can bring her out and, you know, we can run to the trash and then go over to the playground. Or maybe we'll even be in a house by the end of the summer. I don't know. But that's kind of something we're looking at. Moving into what's new with Lou, she's been super cute lately. I've talked about her Mickey Mouse Clubhouse toys and her Sesame toys Sesame Street toys in the Pop Pop the Seal of Approval sections in previous weeks, and how she kind of plays with them all together with her Sesame Street playset. And just last night, she did something really cute. She was playing with her toys, but clearly getting tired, and like I said before, maybe a little bit sick. And so we wanted to, Em wanted to put her down. She really didn't want to because she was playing with her toys, but one way my wife very cleverly figured out to kind of end that naturally was to say goodnight to everybody, put them into the Sesame Street Playhouse, and then shut it closed so that they could go night-night. And that actually worked really well. And it's something that we kind of talked about, I think, over the weekend, her and I, that, you know, you can do the, you know, do this right now kind of parenting style, or you can take it a little bit easy and try and, like, get them to understand it maybe from maybe a more of an emotional perspective. And I think that's kind of what she was doing. Lucy understands going to bed and needing to sleep. She wanted to play, but by telling her that the toys needed to go to sleep, she kind of understood it, could relate to it, and close it. Because otherwise you're just saying, at this arbitrary time, it's time for you to go to bed. And that doesn't make any sense to a kid. We had kind of a similar experience recently with getting her to pick up her goldfish cracker. She eats these baby goldfish crackers. We just put them in like an open container, and so she spills them a bunch. Or she'll put them on the couch and like move, and that makes them spill. And, you know, she didn't want to pick them up. And she's not great about picking stuff up. And I've tried, she'll spill her cereal or anything really, and I'll be like, can you please pick that up? And there's this pickup song that she knows from her music class that I will not sing right now because I'm already a bad singer and I sound even worse right now. But it's, you know, pick up gently, time to put our toys away. And we'll change, you know, toys to different things depending on what she spilled. And it just wasn't working for me on our own. But one time when my wife was home in the evening, she spilled her fishies and we turned the TV off and did something else, took something else away so that she would focus on it. Because she is very good at being willfully ignorant of what you're trying to tell her. You know, she'll kind of look away and not make eye contact and focus on something else. But when we took her distractions away and asked her to pick it up, she would focus and do it. And actually, since then, we had to do it a couple times where we turned the TV off. And I think she just doesn't like having the TV off, so now she'll pick stuff up, like, automatically. And on her own, even. I didn't even have to ask her the other day, and she picked her fishies up, which is kind of cool. I don't know if the two are related with the, you know, putting her toys to sleep, but just kind of explaining things in a way that they can understand, or taking away things that aren't super traumatic. Just be like, okay, TV's off until you pick this up. She picks it up, and then she learns that if she doesn't pick it up, the TV's going to stay off. Which apparently is like the biggest punishment in the world to her, which I can relate to because I watched a lot of TV as a kid. So those have been kind of interesting developments to see her make. All right, I'm going to start a new segment here. I don't know if it'll be an every week kind of a thing, but just a fun little idea that I had. Because my daughter watches a fair amount of television, and I would imagine most other kids do too, I figure a section called TV Talk is within reason, and hopefully somewhat entertaining. I don't know about you guys, but as a kid, I was very into cartoons. You know, I'm 30 now, so I was growing up in the age of He-Man and Silverhawks and Thundercats, and that all kind of turned into Ninja Turtles, and then the Marvel cartoons like Spider-Man and X-Men, and so that's really where my head was at growing up. I love cartoons, and I never really grew out of it, because then you had the Batman, the animated series cartoons, and the Superman one, and Justice League, and literally some of my favorite memories of working at Wizard was getting these advanced VHS tapes of the Justice League Unlimited cartoon from Cartoon Network from our Hollywood guy, and then a bunch of us getting together and watching them after work some days. So just a ton of fun, good quality stuff. So I've always been a cartoon guy. For Lucy, you know, her mainstays right now are the Disney shows. You know, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse is a favorite, Doc McStuffins. As I said recently, she's not really into Jake and the Neverland Pirates anymore, which is fine by me. We do switch over to PBS every now and then during the day for, like, Curious George, which she kind of likes but doesn't really ever ask for. And then, of course, Sesame Street in the morning, and then sometimes on Netflix and via DVD. We got a three-pack of DVDs, and each one has three segments of Elmo's World. And one thing I have noticed that's definitely different from when I was a kid is the fact that thanks to Netflix and DVDs and having all these things on hand, she can really get to know the material she wants, and she can and she knows that it's available, so she won't necessarily watch something new. Which is kind of a bummer, because I have a lot of DVDs, both from just buying them myself and getting stuff when I worked at Wizard and Toy Fair. Not only would companies send us things that we would watch, but they would buy DVDs and then take screen caps and use those in the magazines. And every now and then, the research head, Dan Riley, a very good dude all around, would, you know, put stuff out and be like, hey, does anybody want this? That's how I've got, like, a Godfather box set that they just weren't going to use anymore and a few other things. But one thing I got the same day as the Godfather set was actually the first season of DuckTales. And I figured since Lucy is familiar with Donald Duck from Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, this might be a good thing. And at first, she didn't want to watch it. She wanted to watch, you know, one of the other things that was either on. Because like I've said before, she's really into the live-action Disney stuff now, too, and knows the names of all the things, except for Wizards of Waverly Place, which is still fairly new. And I don't know how she feels about Dog with a Blog, but I'm glad that she's not super into it, because that show's wicked stupid. So I wasn't sure how the first viewing went. I think she wanted to watch something else. But after that, she started asking for it. Ducks, ducks, ducks. And so we kind of, I put it on, and she doesn't necessarily sit down and stare at it like she does with Mickey, but she definitely asked for it, and she definitely likes having it on in the background. I think about half the time she just likes having something on, doesn't necessarily need to, like, focus on it the whole time, which is great. I mean, I don't want her to just sit and zone out and watch television all day, but she does a lot of playing, and she actually plays with her Mickey Mouse toys and her Sesame Street toys while she watches the shows and her other stuff, so it's kind of a mix of both, which is good. So I'm glad the DuckTales thing is working out. We've burned our way through most of the first and second discs at this point, I think. She's not, like I said, she's not really paying attention, and she doesn't care if we repeat stuff. But I'm hoping that she can branch out a little bit. I also recently picked up a Looney Tunes box set that's called the Looney Tunes Spotlight Collection 2. I think there's like 7 or 8 of these. And this one has like 30 different cartoons from Looney Tunes. I don't know if they're in any kind of chronological order or what the deal is. But it's just a lot on here. And you know, I was a big fan of Looney Tunes. And I've kind of realized later in life that they're actually like really good sources of comedy and really funny. Now, a lot of people say they're violent, and they, I guess, are technically, but I don't know. I think kids can differentiate between cartoon and regular violence. Although maybe not, because I think from watching Peter Pan, the movie, she's figured out how to do sword fighting, and that's not the best thing in the world. So I tried putting Looney Tunes on. She wasn't interested. Just today, actually, I had the TV on, and we were flipping through channels because there was some movie on Disney, and we just finished watching an Elmo DVD, and I didn't really want to watch another one. So I was kind of flipping around to see what else was on, and there were some old-school Looney Tunes on, and we watched one. It was the Scarlet Pumpernickel one with Sylvester and Daffy Duck, and I don't know. She was kind of doing something, so she wasn't really paying attention. I was trying to be like, look, Looney Tunes, this is cool, but she wasn't really into it. And then the other one that I got recently, and this is because I saw it online pretty cheap when I was buying the Mel Brooks Blu-ray box set for like $30, which was on sale 2 weeks ago from this recording. And I hope that if you're a Mel Brooks fan, you picked it up. I am a wannabe Mel Brooks fan, and so this was perfect for me to kind of get in there, see the movies I've seen before, and watch them again kind of like with a better eye. When I got that, I was kind of looking around to see if there was anything else because I had a little bit of extra spending money. And I came across a cartoon that I loved as a kid. I don't know how I came across it. It seems like there were a lot more ways to see old cartoons back when I was younger. I don't know if it was on Nickelodeon or like an early Cartoon Network or what the deal is. But I became a huge fan of the Plastic Man cartoon from like, let's see if it says it on here. I think it was like the 60s or 70s. I don't really know much about it as far as like behind the scenes production or anything like that, but it's a, you know, a Hanna-Barbera cartoon, and he hangs out with a a girl named Penny, who's his girlfriend, and a sidekick named Hula Hula. This is, I think, where my love of Plastic Man started, but again, like, I don't have any idea why this existed, but I'm glad it did, and I'm glad I could get it for like $8 on Amazon, because I want to watch it again. I tried showing her this, and she kind of looked at it, wasn't really into it. She didn't get past, like, the first minute on the DVD, but then last night she saw the picture of it and seemed to be kind of interested in it. I think she might have thought it was Spider-Man, so maybe that was a little tricky. I tried putting it again today, and she wasn't into it. But, if nothing else, at least watching DuckTales and having her like that has kind of given me the idea that even if she doesn't like something right away, she might eventually like it. So I'm going to keep trying. I'm not going to push anything. Like, I know there's people that really want their kids to be, like, uber geeky like they are or whatever. And this isn't really about that. This is just more like sharing the cartoons that I liked as a kid. I think there's added value because they're based on cool properties or they have long histories like Looney Tunes, or they're related to something that she does like already. But I'm not trying to push anything on her. Although we did watch Star Wars a couple days ago, which might also explain the sword fighting thing. But I still think that was mostly Peter Pan. She didn't really seem to care about Star Wars, which I thought at least, you know, Chewbacca or the lightsaber fights would get her. When she was a lot younger, I've got a lightsaber actually again from my Toy Fair days that you hit a button and it actually extends. And then it lights up, and when you tap it, it makes the ooh and the, like, choo 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 sounds. She used to play with it, and then I realized that giving a baby, you know, this, like, 3-foot-long stick that she could knock things over with probably wasn't the best idea. I put that back in storage for when she's a little bit older. Funny thing is, she's been picking up this flashlight that I have that looks actually kind of like a lightsaber. And she's been carrying it around and being like, whoosh. And I don't know if it's just something that she picked up from watching cartoons or what, or if she actually remembers the lightsaber toy that she used to play with, but I thought that was kind of neat. So I showed her the movie. I was feeling pretty sick, like I mentioned earlier, and watching Star Wars definitely made me feel good. I hadn't watched Episode 4 in a long time, and it was fun. I hope she enjoys these cartoons at some point, both because it'll kind of mix things up for us, and because I think they're funny and they have some entertainment value for her to get into. But again, it's not like me trying to push my geekery on her. If she wants to be, you know, completely, you know, whatever popular kids do when she's older, that's fine. I really just want her to be happy and to do the things that she likes, so it really doesn't bother me. But if she happens to be into Star Wars and, you know, being popular, if those two things can be the same when she's older, that would be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? All right, for the Pop Papa seal of approval, I'm going to give it to a very basic product that has proven to be incredibly useful to my wife and I. It's called the Munchkin Shampoo Rinser, and basically what it is like a plastic or rubber or something cup with a handle that's soft and flexible that you can use in the bath. Now, Lucy loves baths. When she was very little, I would always get in, put my bathing suit on, get in with her, kind of hold her while she bathed, and she'd kind of lay down and get used to the water, and she dug it. And I think we used this back then. But after she started getting a little bigger and could sit up in the tub, I would just stay outside and wash her and do the shampoo thing and all that. And this is just a really nice, easy, simple, well-made tool to get them wet in the first place, because she doesn't really, like, lay down in the tub anymore. Kind of freaks her out. I try every now and then just to see if she's gotten more used to it or used to the idea, and it hasn't happened just yet. So she sits up mostly in the tub. And so I use this thing first to just get her body wet, you know, the upper part that's not in the water. And then I use it to rinse her off, but also, you know, she likes being in the bath, and so I just kind of scoop water up and kind of douse around her, like on her chest and her arms and stuff. And my wife was home, you know, a couple weeks ago while I was giving her a bath, and she was joking that I was, like, keeping her, like, moistened like a plant. And, you know, that was funny, and it's true, but, you know, I figure the top half of you gets cold when you're in a pool, right? You know, if you've gone under and you've come up. And if it's a little chilly, and it's definitely been cold this winter, so I like to keep her warm. It's an idea that I actually got from my mom, who took care of Lucy while my wife was in the hospital. And my mom mentioned that, you know, Lucy was in the bath and she wanted to stay in there, so she didn't feel like disrupting her any more than she was already being disrupted by having her mom gone, mom and dad gone. And so she was doing that. And so I've kind of kept that idea going. You might notice a pattern here that I am a big fan of well-made, efficient products, and this is definitely one of them. So the Munchkin Shampoo Rinser definitely gets the Pop Papa seal of approval. As a funny kind of add-on, because this is named the Shampoo Rinser, it made me chuckle, because that's the part of the bath that Lucy actually hates. She can't stand getting her hair wet. As soon as you start trickling water past, like, the back of her head, and it starts dribbling down the front, she freaks out. And it's a problem because she immediately puts her hands to her face and, like, kind of, like, pushes them against her face and pulls down. So it, like, opens her eyes and it gets wet. And she really likes doing bubble baths now. So, like, it's this constant mess of, like, oh, God, is she going to, like, do the face swipe thing and, like, get more stuff? I know none of it's dangerous because it's all baby-approved stuff. But it's just one of those things where she winds up making it like a million times worse than it is. And this is kind of like the communication stuff I mentioned last week. I can't explain to her yet. Just close your eyes and look down and don't touch your face. It'll be over in a second because she doesn't understand that. I've tried kind of showing her how I do it. I've tried like putting stuff up in the air so she'll look up and I can get her that way. But as soon as she feels that water, she freaks out, tucks her head in, and winds up getting water in her eyes and her mouth. So it's a tricky thing I still haven't figured out yet, but hopefully we'll get there soon, or she'll just learn how to talk and walk better and be able to give herself baths or showers, whatever she likes. I don't really mind. But yeah, if you're having a kid or a friend of yours is having a kid and you're trying to find, you know, a gift or just need something else that you want to add to the gift, I highly recommend the Munchkin Shampoo Rinser. Get one for yourself and make bath time a little bit easier. Right, as you might be able to hear as I talk, I am now joined by my sometimes co-host, Lucy. Can you say hi, Lucy? Nope, okay. We're just about getting into the pop-pop of the week section. Unlike the previous 2 weeks, I'm going to go back to giving it to a fictional character. This guy is the star of an 80s action movie. He is one of the biggest action stars of all time, even to this day. Well, his last few movies didn't do so well, but he's trying. It is Arnold Schwarzenegger's character, John Matrix, from the movie Commando. Now, I hope you've seen this movie. If you're an action guy, if you're just a fan of kind of cheesy 80s action movies, this is a perfect one. The basic plot is that John Matrix used to be a soldier for hire. His entire team has been killed off, and the guy that's been doing that has come to John, wants him to go fight his war down in some made-up South American country. The way he's going to get Matrix to do this is by kidnapping his daughter and saying, hey, once you're done, you can get your daughter back, no problem. Of course, Matrix is not having any of this. They put him on a plane for the 11 or 12-hour flight down to the country. But instead of flying off, what he does is snap his guard's neck on the plane and crawls out onto the landing gear, which is still out, and drops into a lake, which luckily is at the end of the runway. Now, I know that's a thing in some places, and it can be bad when the plane crashes into there, but luckily, he lives in that area. Now, to get his daughter back, he follows the guy from the Warriors, who says, Warriors, come out and play. I forget his name, but it's that guy. And into a mall. To do this, he needs Radon Chong's help, Tommy Chong's daughter. And from there, you know, it's a lot of fights in crazy places like malls and big assaults on old houses like the one in Beverly Hills Cop. It's the same one, actually. It's just a fun movie, and that's because it really doesn't take itself too seriously. Now, obviously, the material can be taken seriously, and it was with a movie like Taken, which is pretty intense, and like that episode of Castle that I talked about back on the very first Pop Pop a Napcast. But I kind of like the more tongue-in-cheek approach to it because it really takes the edge off of this story, and it helps that Alyssa Milano, that's Arnold's daughter in the movie, is pretty tough herself and can kind of handle herself, and you see in a montage in the beginning that he's taught her how to fight, and that comes up later. Yeah? Lucy, for the record, has not seen this movie.
You
want a tea? Here you go. It's not warm. Okay. Can I finish recording and then we'll warm it up? Okay, thank you. So, you know, like I said, it takes a little bit of the edge off. It makes it a little bit more palatable. Before I had kids, this was not the kind of thing where I was, like, even remotely worried about. But there's certain kinds of stories that become a lot more personal and relatable to you as you get older and you experience different things. You know, I always understood the, like, somebody took the love of my life, I gotta go after him story on a like, scientific level. But, you know, once you meet somebody and you really kind of get that feeling of love and companionship and you know, wanting to protect them, you get those stories a little bit more. And sometimes that makes them harder to take. I've definitely had that a little bit with some of the Kid in Danger movies. And I'm really glad I watched Taken before we had, before Lucy was born, because had it been after, I don't know if I could have handled that movie, because it's pretty intense, man. But for being more of a light-hearted, tongue-in-cheek, still pretty murderous and bloody, but fun in a weird way that all makes sense, I give the pop-pop of the week to Arnold Schwarzenegger's character, John Matrix, from the movie Commando. All right, gang, I think I've taken up enough of your time. I hope you enjoyed the show this week. And hopefully my voice fluctuations weren't too difficult to take. I tried cutting out a lot of the bad stuff, but you can still hear a lot of the labored breathing and whatnot, and I apologize for that, but just can't cut some things out. If you want to hear more from me about parenting, you can head over to poppapa.com. That's poppapa.com. If you want to read more of my pop culture musings, head on over to United Monkey. That's monkee.com. Or if you want to see what I've been cooking, check out monkeyingaroundthekitchen.com. And lastly, if you want to check me out on Twitter, I am at Papadich, PoppadiETSCH. And please, if you like the show, head on over to iTunes. Give it a rating and a review. I know that stuff helps. I don't think I have any just yet. As I've said before, I'm still really trying to figure out how to get, you know, the picture over there and some other stuff. I figured some of the details out, but I'm having trouble. If anybody knows anything about that kind of stuff and how I can get that information to iTunes through my WordPress page, please let me know. I've tried FeedBurner and it's not doing what I need it to do, and I don't know what the problem is. But if you got any suggestions or can help me out, drop me a line on the blog here or through Twitter and let me know if you can help out. All right, thanks, and have a good week.